Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from Scarlet Threads, Part 1. That's Part 1 of 7 parts. It's all one big story, but I've divided it up. And this particular part is called Babylon in Bible Days. The whole thing is about a mystery in your Bible called Babylon. I believe that we're asked to understand these mysteries. I also know that a person could understand all the mysteries and all the prophecies and everything and still be lost. I'm not elevating this study above the more important studies of the Bible. I'm not suggesting that people who are mystery-minded are cut above the others, but I am saying that every word of God is pure. Everything in the Bible needs to be examined by God's people, and the longer you live in Christ and in His Word, the more you get curious about things that we have available to us. And one of them is the understanding of mysteries. Now, Scarlet Threads, Part 1. It's the first book I ever wrote, close to 20 years ago, I guess. This particular version came out in 2012. But I had different versions of it out before that. It's something that just totally, I want to say controlled. That's not a good word, but I was really into this for a long time, trying to figure out this mystery. What did God mean when He said that? The tracing of Babylon turns out to be the study of the human race with its obvious and not so obvious byways and lanes that after a while tend to overwhelm you rather than edify. And after months of plodding through all of these paths, I finally had to force myself to stop, and I'll turn over the rest of that project to you. When you've completed this study and its companions, please exercise caution about sharing it with others. To the unsaved world, we preach Christ crucified and risen again. Edification is reserved for believers. In this series of studies, there is some of both, but its message is delicate enough to demand prayer about those to whom you're going to pass it on. It might be especially helpful for the person who wonders why he doesn't feel at home in Romanism, maybe never did, or Orthodoxy, or even quite a number of Protestant churches. And for all true believers, though, I offer the following reasons for a careful study of this subject. First, if one has any doubt that the Babylonian system is dead, there's going to be a temptation to avoid confrontation with Babylon's modern adherents, who you will figure out later on, thinking they're safe enough, I don't have to tell them about Jesus. Secondly, such a study will produce compassion for all persons bound by religious systems, a growing hatred for the enemy of our souls, and a stronger discernment of good and evil. And then the times continue to worsen. Knowing what is to come upon us and the sources of those circumstances cannot help but be beneficial to the end-time saint. God has not called us to walk in darkness, and so He gave us the glorious light of His Word, upon which I believe this following study is built. I've attempted to speak the truth in love and humbly point out the truths I've discovered. At times, though, I have to say, it was difficult to be reserved and calm looking into the face of this evil. We are warned, and I tried to heed the warning, that wheat and weeds will be mixed in this world. They're often so close. Ultimate judgment belongs to God, and yes, the church has to stop destroying all those whom she doesn't agree with, but we must discern. And if Christ is not in what we are observing, we must warn. And as the Lord leads, we must also come out from among them and be separate. Now, I was just reading to you from the preface to this book, and as I come to the end of it, I see the date of September 1, 1992. So this has been around going on 20 years. Now the foreword. I asked a Jewish friend of mine of that day, haven't seen Ron for a long time, but I asked, would you put together some words for like an introduction or a foreword to this book? And this is what he wrote. He said, as a Hebrew Christian, I've been confronted many times by fellow Jews and accused of being converted to Catholicism, a Roman religion that they know to have been responsible for the beating and murder of millions of victims, Jew and Gentile alike. Of course, their accusations are correct as far as Romanism is concerned. The historical evidence of crimes and atrocities committed against my people in the name of Christ is well documented. The Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, the Nazi Holocaust are examples. I had a tough time convincing them that my personal faith in the Messiah, Jesus, had nothing to do with Catholicism, and that I had not suddenly become a Roman Catholic. I knew, of course, that their own confusion did not originate from the teachings of Jesus, but was brought about by the anti-Semitic actions of a people, both Catholic and Protestant, who throughout history claimed to be Christians, but in fact were not. This book, and he's talking about Scarlet Threads, has increased my faith by opening my eyes to a clearer understanding of this false religious system, steeped in deception that has plagued mankind from the beginning of time. My prayer is that this book will help end your confusion, too. That was from Ron Karkman, a Jewish believer living in Chicago at that time, a friend of the gospel for sure. And that brings us to the beginning. We'll have a short portion of it now, and we will continue this series as long as necessary. We'll take a break now and then, I would think. And we are studying the book of Hebrews at this time, and Lord willing, we'll be interspersing that when I finally figure out who Melchizedek is. And I hope that I'll be able to share with you my findings. Part one, Babylon in Bible days. Babylon in Bible days. We're going to trace it historically, Babylon, all the way through Bible times and then beyond, and after that into history itself. The whole thing about Babylon. We go from 4000 BC to 100 AD. That's the Bible time. Now, three things are going to help you as you listen to this story. First, what Isaiah calls a garment of praise. That's Isaiah 61:3, to combat the inevitable spirit of heaviness that comes when dealing with the things of Satan. Secondly, an open Bible to check for yourself that the account that I'm giving is true. And third, a heart hungry for God and open only to truth. There is a trail of scarlet that wends its way through the pages of God's word and history. There is, for example, the scarlet cord that Rahab was asked, we call her Rahab, was asked to hang from her window so she could be saved by Joshua at his return. A scarlet thread was to be interwoven throughout the garments of Israel's priests. Red is the color of wine, as in the new wine promised by Jesus. Above all, there's the stream of blood that flows from our greater Joshua, our great high priest, the one called Jesus. Prostitution, the royal priesthood, the blood, scarlet threads, somehow woven into the fabric of the plans of God. And the father of lies, the source of all of which this book speaks, has, we assume, his own set of scarlet threads, strikingly similar to that of the Lord God. From the dawn of history to this present age can be traced the story of a bloodthirsty, regal prostitute. A woman with a cup, remember, in whose hand is a cup of abominable wine with which she drugs the nations. She's symbolized in Scripture by that same hue, scarlet. Blood, whoredom, wine, kings and priests, all of this at the heart of the story I tell, the story of Babylon. Babylon in its ancient days, the Babylon of today. Even glimpses of the Babylon still to come, for as you hear these words, it would seem to me that the spirits of demons hover over this planet, calling it to bring forth the new world for which they work so diligently. This action itself, as would be typical of them, counterfeits the beginning of all things, when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. But I digress. In addition to the pagan religions of authority, Rome and the institution centered there features largely in this narrative, the present-day Rome. No intention is made to offend or to single out one religious organization as being all that the enemy is doing on planet Earth. Absolutely not. Protestantism must be dealt with also, and later in the story I will deal with it. But history is history, and true believers are being called out of all that which is not created by the Father. There's nothing but danger ahead in institutions of men that claim to be institutions of God. My own involvement in modern-day Babylon, actually there were many involvements, and years ago, I will later explain those in detail. They were not the reason for that I began writing in 1992. The reason is that in the early summer of that year, I was reading again the 17th and 18th chapters of Revelation, and I came under a deep impression that it was time to study the Babylon mentioned by John. And for the following weeks, I could do little else. I prayed, I received counsel, I devoured dozens of books, searched the scriptures, and began to write. In my studies, I found several threads intertwining through the events of mankind, traceable in every generation. I found a Babylonian-style religion intermingled with the current political structure. I found syncretism, the close mixture of true and false. I found the desire for world dominion. I found anti-Jewish and anti-Christian, as in born again, prejudice. I found a constant calling out of God's people. Threads running through scripture and through my own history brought everything into even sharper focus. And all those threads seemed to me to be tied in one knot from whence they emanate, namely mystery, Babylon, the mother of all abominations, Revelation 17:5. Reading one book is not going to be enough for those who are called to research this issue. For such people, I've collected in this book, and you can get it at Amazon.com, or just click on store right here at Sermon Audio, and you can get this whole thing. And in that book, I've collected a short library of resource materials and a list of contexts. It's at the end of part 5. The things of which I speak are not hidden. This is not just me figuring this out. Unless you don't look, it'll be hidden to you if you don't look. And as you read through the book or the bibliography, you'll become keenly aware that I haven't always quoted Christian sources. In some cases, I have used the quotes of men who deny the Lord I love. Others are devout churchmen of various denominations, with many of whom you and I both would differ on a host of issues. Others are solid fundamentalists who might disagree with each other, but still others are Roman Catholic. But all, the atheist to the fundamentalist, have agreed that there is a spiritual political force in the world today that is destructive and needs to be exposed. And a host of believers affirm that God's people must come out of her. Notice that I said exposed, not brought down. Students of Scripture especially will readily recognize that Babylon, though scheduled for ultimate failure, will be a strong power until that time. The thrust of this book is not to attack, but to call out from that structure those few who will hear and be saved, and to confirm to those who already have come out that their departure was wise. In speaking of non-Christian witnesses, it is sad to note that had they known the real Christ of the real church, they might not have stayed non-Christian. It is in that spirit that I bring them to the stand to testify. Be all of the above as it may, it's time for us to begin our walk together. I want you to walk with me on a journey that will begin when the planet was young. It will end in days perhaps not unlike our own. It is a walk which will cause us both to shudder, for the pathway will be strewn with corpses and blood. Our eyes and ears will be filled with violence and the lust for unbridled power of man at his worst. And as we walk, it will become clear that we are uncovering a portion of the mystery of iniquity spoken of by Paul the Apostle, and the plot of him who has waged war against our God and God's people from the beginning. We will see him, but we will also see her, the one named Babylon, mother of harlots. And when we see her, we will marvel, as did John, with great amazement. We'll continue on next time with the fall of Satan and his plan for man. We'll go right back to the very beginning of history and start seeing where Babylon came from, where it remained, where it is today, and where it's going. Stay with me. I do hope that you will do that. I want you to look around the website before you leave and see that there are many other kinds of studies and things that will bless you, I do hope. You can click on store and find all these books, Scarlet Threads, and 56 other ones. You'll find North Korea audios and North Korea photo updates and studies on Quran and Muhammad and prophecy and through the Bible. There's a blog every day. There's a Zoom meeting every Saturday night. Contact me. I'll tell you all about that. Facebook friends, look me up as Bob Faulkner in Niles. And then on YouTube, visit and subscribe. There are some hand-picked sermons right from Sermon Audio that I've put over there, and a few other things I think will bless you again. So thank you for being here today. Do come back. Let's continue this study next time. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.